summer is coming, and it's time to get in shape. Do you need to lose a few inches? Then do what New York Assembly Leader Sheldon Silver does. Wiggle while you work.
My budget is here at the leader's table, ma'am, and I can smile like you.
Come on, everyone. Silver size! Everyone's doing it. Swing those hips. Move your head. Don't waste any time. Start silver sizing. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rush Limbaugh.
Thank you. Come in and get a tight shot on this tie for just a second. Ooh, very good. All right, thanks very much. Appreciate it. Sir, is everything okay up there now? The light's not as in your eyes as much? Good. We had a man in the back row complaining before the program the light was in his eyes. I told him not to worry because when the show starts, all lights are on me. As they are. Take a look at this little newspaper story. This was in the New York Post, but it ran everywhere across the fruited plain, either Monday or Tuesday. It's about a weatherman out in Fresno, California, works at a radio station there, which carries my program, who got fired. He then told the press that he was fired because the station management told him to alter the weather forecast. You see, this station had a ditto head barbecue and picnic coming up on a Saturday, and they wanted a lot of people to show up, and the weatherman claims that they told him, no matter what the forecast is, tell the audience it's going to be sunny. Now, that's just his story. We don't know if it's true. The station is denying that they made him do that. They said they fired him for other reasons. He didn't do it. He gave a forecast for rain, and it did rain. And then they let him go, and he was telling everybody to get fired. So, all over the country, ladies and gentlemen, you saw that story. And since it's the season to criticize me, a lot of people have been doing this story on radio and TV across the country saying that I got the guy fired. I got a call of my radio program on Tuesday from somebody here in New York who said she'd been watching the Fox Morning News show called Good Morning New York, and that the weather person there, Julie Golden, had reported that I had gotten the weather guy fired. And I said, well, I know the general manager at Channel 5 in New York. It's the station that carries our program, Hillary Hindler. She's brilliant. She is a good friend of mine and is one of the industry leaders. So I'm going to call her up and get Julie Golden fired. You know, if I have this power, if I get weather people fired, then I'm going to call the manager at Channel 5 and say, fire the weather girl. Well, and I then heard that there was a Fort Lauderdale TV station where there was a news anchor there named Dwight Lauderdale. I said, now that's really a neat, you think that's a real last name, Dwight Lauderdale, working in Fort Lauderdale. And I was told that Dwight Lauderdale reported the same thing, that I got the guy fired, so I called on my program Tuesday for Dwight Lauderdale to also be fired. You see, so here's what's happened. Here's what's happened. It turns out that Julie Golden did not say it on Fox's Morning News, and that I have asked for the wrong person to be fired. Here's actually how it happened on Good Morning New York on, was Tuesday morning. Watch.
Did you read the article in the New York Post, in the back of the New York Post this morning about the weatherman that got fired for not fudging the weather?
Oh, with Rush Limbaugh?
That's right. Allegedly, his statement.
Well, these guys have some power. You know, if the weatherman predicts the wrong weather, he gets fired because Rush Limbaugh said so?
Because he's having a picnic.
Stop the tape. Ladies and gentlemen, you can see it wasn't Julie Golden. It was the other guy, Bob Ryan. So I would like to tell Hillary Hindler, general manager of Channel 5, please hire her back if you did fire her. Jim Ryan, what did I say? What, Bob Ryan, Jim Ryan. Bob Ryan ran the mile, whatever. Fire Jim Ryan. Hillary, that's what you need to do. Fire him because he got it wrong. And Dwight Lauderdale, those people down at Fort Lauderdale are calling and saying they didn't do it. So I'm trying to find the caller who called and told me. I'm going to fire that caller from whatever job. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous that I have this power to get people fired all over the place. But that's just the season, and that's what it's like to be me. I want to show you a poll. CNN USA, or the CNN Time poll, by the way. Not USA Today. April 29th, 600 people, margin of error of 4% with 600 people. And look at this first question. Do you think the federal government is a threat to the rights and freedoms of citizens? 52% say yes. 44% say no. That has got to really bother liberals and Democrats as they look at that. A couple more questions from this poll. Government needs more investigative power to combat terrorism. Yes, 33% already has enough power, 61%. I'd say the revolution here is in full force. Absolutely right. And which party are the political views of the militias closer to? Democratic Party, 3%. GOP, 12%. Look at that. Neither party. 77%. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. They are anarchists. They are not members of the United States political process, at least the people that are engaging in this kind of violent activity. That's not political activity. And somebody asked me in the briefing here before the program began if I thought what I thought of the president cheapening this by turning this sad event into Oklahoma into politics. And I said, well, yeah, it's not just cheap, but it really represents a total lack of character, in my mind, to delve into this issue that way and to turn it political. And these poll numbers here indicate that the president's attempts clearly are not working. I want to move on now to the Henry Foster nomination for Surgeon General. I had to catch myself watching his performance during the hearings. Here's what he said.
First of all, I am a doctor who delivers babies. My life's work has been devoted to bringing healthy lives into this world and trying to assure that every child born is a wanted child and who has parents that can meet its needs.
Sounds vaguely familiar. Every child, a planned and wanted child, why... where have I heard that before?
Well, my priorities are going to be to focus on preventing health, which we've not done. A top issue in that is to make every child born in America a planned, wanted child.
There you have it. Every child, a planned and wanted child. You know, I'll tell you what, I really find it interesting. If you want to, and I know this is going to anger some of you, but I'm not going to be intimidated by that possibility. But we have Henry Foster up there trying to make his case for being confirmed as Surgeon General, and you heard what he said, and the president, they're trying to present this guy as anything but an abortion doctor. They're going out of their way to make it seem like this guy has hardly any abortions. It doesn't matter. This guy loves delivering healthy babies. Now, if you're a member of the pro-choice community, this ought to not ring really sweet to you, because this represented at first a litmus test for Clinton with that constituency group to go out and find Supreme Court nominees and as many nominees for your cabinet as you could that were pro-choice. And they're going out, they know to get this guy confirmed, they cannot say, yeah, this guy performs abortions, thinks there ought to be a lot of them, blah, blah. Cannot say that. And this is interesting politics if you watch him try to get this guy confirmed. Jocelyn Elders also was on a program not long ago, earlier this week, and in defense of Henry Foster, not a big deal here, but I saw this. I thought maybe you'd like to see it, too. See what you think of this.
No woman should ever go to an obstetrician gynecologist who's never performed an abortion.
Yeah, so I guess you got to fill out an application form and you go in there and give your OBGYN something to fill out, and this is going to be one of the requirements you have from that. All this is a defense of him. Well, maybe not. She probably believes it, come to think of it. knowing her. We've got a little bit more on her and some other things. We're going to go back and revisit a couple more examples of liberal hate speech after this break. Don't go away. You'll enjoy it. Much and welcome back. I have a little bit more on Jocelyn Elders. Are you aware she did a Playboy interview recently? she did, and in it, she said that Clarence Thomas is an Uncle Tom, that Jesse Helms is a typical white Southern male bigot, and that Newt Gingrich might be among a minority of people who don't masturbate. Here's a quote from the former Surgeon General. She said, studies have shown, I think, that 90% of the people know masturbation happens, and they do it. But Gingrich probably doesn't. Then she goes on to say, Gingrich thinks too much about himself. I'm just sorry we lost this woman, ladies and gentlemen, as a source of material. She says, House Speaker Gingrich's only interest is himself. He's not concerned about children or America or the people, and he's probably among that 10% that doesn't masturbate either. He's too busy thinking about himself. Then it also, in this Playboy piece, it says, she says that talk show host Rush Limbaugh is probably the best communicator in America. It's what it says. It's right there. But I don't know. That has to be some kind of a misprint, or she thinks that I'm Bill Clinton. You know, and I don't know. I don't have the article yet. I'm going to go get the article and see if that actually is in there. Now, change of gears here for just a second, because as you know, last week we showed you, or maybe it's earlier this week, I can't recall, the days are going by so quickly, but it was recently that we gave you examples of what I consider to be hate speech that is emanating from the left. And it's interesting to note that the mainstream media doesn't even pay attention to the hate speech that comes from the left. If it weren't for this program, for example, a lot of it would never even be publicized. And I ran into something the other day that I just, in fact, it was this morning, that I can't believe a huge big deal has not been made of this. The new chairman of the NAACP is Merle Evers Williams, the widow of Medgar Evers. And she was making a speech to the Consultation on Conscience in Washington, D.C. And here's what she said. Imagine the monstrous consequences if Newt succeeds in making starvation public policy in a society where the poor are heavily armed. We must challenge the right wing to explain why mindlessly reducing welfare will not generate a corresponding increase in child prostitution or violent crime. She's saying there may be an armed revolt here against the contract with America. And she's saying that we'd better understand it if it happens, because the contract with America has starvation as public policy. Now, this is ridiculous. This is stupid. This is mindless psychobabble. But if you've seen television shows as I have, one of the nightlines, this is some years ago now, one of those 90-minute nightline shows on a Friday night, Koppel was at some place in Washington, D.C., and the audience was made up of D.C. residents, and most of the audience was African-American. And some guy, one of the guests, said that AIDS and drugs were a creation of white CIA officials for the express purpose of wiping out black people in America and around the world. And that comment got a standing ovation. I mean, you would think that that comment would be greeted with hoots and howls. Come on, who are you kidding? But there is an audience. These people believe it. So now, you know, and I say this, people talk about all of the hidden meanings that can be transmitted from this show, my radio show, and everything else. I've never said anything like this. Nobody I know has ever said anything like this. To say that the contract with America makes starvation public policy, and the monstrous consequences, if Newt succeeds in that, in a poor community which is heavily armed, are things we wouldn't want to think about. I mean, she's actually promising here, or not promising, but holding out the possibility of an armed revolt. So here you have it, an example of what I would consider to be hate speech. It's full of lies, and this is a mainstream civil rights organization, or at least it used to be. Quick break. We've got more. Back with it right after this. Okay, Medicare. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to try to give you a heads up. Medicare is the next big item that's going to be debated in Washington because it goes hand in hand with balancing the budget by the year 2002. And it is a political hot potato. The administration came out with a study not long ago. The administration, Bill Clinton's gang, which said that Medicare, if nothing's done about it, will be bankrupt by the year 2000. So something has to be done. It has to be reworked. It has to be reformed, refinanced. A whole bunch of things need to happen, including severe, serious cuts in the size of the program. And there's a big little back and forth battle going on now as to who's going to be the first to make a proposal. Let it be known. I want to tell you right now this very simple thing to understand if you know who to listen to. Ha ha, me. The administration doesn't want to get anywhere near it. The administration doesn't want to cut Medicare. They don't want to cut it. They don't want to touch it. They'd rather the Republicans take it on and die with it. They'd rather the Republicans take it on and be perceived by seasoned citizens in this country as taking their medical benefits away. It's a huge challenge because it has to be done to save the country's future. Now, there was a press conference. Gingrich and Dole held it together, and I want to show you this only to show you how combative the press is with these people, how they refuse to understand what Newt's trying to say to them. They'd rather argue with them, and it'll give you an idea what the Republicans are up against as this debate kicks off. Roll the tape.
There are four major items in the budget. You've put three of the top four off limits. You've put Social Security off limits. You've put defense off limits. You're not going to cut interest on the debt. That only leaves Medicare as something to cut. Are you now saying that you're not going to get cuts from Medicare to balance the budget, or are you going to use cuts from Medicare to balance the budget? Some people in the city
seem to have budget fixation.
Yes.
It's a psychosis. Okay. Now, let me just say.
Is this really about the budget?
No, no. Let me ask you for a second.
What does this suggest to you? What does this suggest to you?
I would be curious.
If you take last year's report and the year before that report.
What does this suggest to you about this trust fund?
It suggests me that you isolated this year's report and tried to highlight it in a way that is deceptive.
Why? You're saying it's not going to go broke?
I'm saying it's no more likely to go broke this year in 2002 than in 17 other trust fund reports that have made similar projections since 1983, too.
This is going to go broke. We think we're now in charge. We weren't in charge a year ago. And we're saying on behalf of the House and the Senate, we think that this report justifies trying to be bipartisan and trying to solve the problem of Medicare funding. And I think that's a legitimate position.
Let me say, however, look right here. Don't take our word for it, because obviously we may not want to take our word for it. But this is what was in the report. This is Robert Rubin. I think he's a member of the cabinet, and the other Robert's a member of the cabinet. Donna Shalala's a member of the cabinet. These are all members.
You see, they're arguing with her, not even listening to what's being said. I've got one more clip from this press conference I want to show you, which will illustrate even better when we come back. Don't go away. Now, this press conference we just showed you was reported in the press that Dole and Gingrich walked out of it. Didn't happen. Let me show you how it ended.
You know, we certainly welcome these questions. We didn't know we'd have any. But the other side of the coin is, if we don't do anything, as the president advocates,
we're going to be in serious trouble. Now, those who don't believe that, go back and take a look at what happened before we finally got around to Social Security in 1983. The trustees report from time to time.
Thank you.
That was it. They said thank you and they left. And you could hear the press talking throughout Dole's statement, shouting questions or talking amongst themselves. I don't think you'd ever hear them doing that during a presidential press conference. It's going to be a tough battle. Medicare, keep an eye on it. We'll be seeing you next time. Bye-bye.
Services provided and promotional fees paid by the following.
Save up to 70% and more on your contact lenses. Have your prescription ready and call Vision Unlimited. 1-800-2-VISION.
The Dirt Devil MVP with maximum vacuum power. Real proof that nothing escapes the power of a Dirt Devil. Nothing.
Quit chewing tobacco with Mint Snuff All Mint Chew. Mint Snuff is made from mint, not tobacco. For a store near you, call 1-800-EAT-MINT.
Hot Pockets, filled with pepperoni pizza or ham and cheese in a crispy crust.
What are you gonna pick?
Hot Pockets. Try Lean Pockets, too.
If you'd like to order a video cassette of Rush's TV show for only $24.95, just call Video Archives at 1-800-FOR-VIDEO. For a transcript, send $5 to Burrell's, Box 7, Livingston, New Jersey, 07039. Or call 1-800-777-TEXT.